Welcome to the Visit to Reason podcast, and I'm Coach Benton Williams. The Visit to Reason podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. My guest, Divine Owasi, is the founder and CEO of Sharama Event and Tours, an eco-friendly tour company based in Rwanda. She has been discussing with me her passion for clean and sustainable tourism, digital marketing, and how Africa can tap into the opportunity the COVID-19 pandemic presents to build a robust, sustainable tourism product with technology as its core base. Divine, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Kudu.
And how are you keeping? Can you introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
Okay, my name is Divine Owasi, and I am the founder and CEO of Sharama Events and Tours. It's an eco-friendly event planning and tour operations company, but we also do digital marketing services to help hospitality brands stand out. So I do tour operations, event planning, and digital marketing services.
Okay,
and we are based in Rwanda.
Okay, exciting. No, I'm saying exciting. Now, like we said previously, before the conversation, let's begin with digital marketing, because I know you do so many things. You are into tour guiding. You are into events, and I think in the course of the conversation, all will come out. But let's stick with tourism marketing. Okay, digital marketing, specifically in tourism area. How do you think that the pandemic has, if you like, eliminated some of the missing things that were traditionally people have been stuck to with respect to using digital tools to help expand their business or promote tourism?
Definitely, yes. I must say that the pandemic has completely changed the whole model on how we are operating now and how we're stepping into marketing our products and services. And the pandemic has reinforced the digital solutions, and it just made the old digital solutions the only way to go.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if I answered your question.
No, I mean, let me follow it up with this. You know, obviously, the digital space, Zoom in meetings, etc., became the buzzword. Okay, but have not just big businesses, but as young business as yourself, have we been able to understand how we can upscale on that? Because we know that it used to be a bit of a social thing, but it's become part and parcel of business development. What is your take on that? For up and coming businesses making it part of their, plans to grow.
So my take to that is that a lot of businesses are still struggling in adapting to the digital era as business development, or as the only way to do our businesses, to operate with our businesses. But I must say that there are a lot of initiatives that are being taken, especially here in Rwanda. There have been a lot of programs specifically curated for young entrepreneurs, and the Chamber of Tourism has been giving trainings on digital marketing for both small and medium enterprises in 2020 and 2021 to young businesses and young entrepreneurs. And I personally witnessed three cohorts of young people being introduced to these digital solutions. And I believe that a lot has been achieved, but there is still a huge gap to adapt to this new era, especially for young businesses.
Okay, now adapting to this new era against people who think or who are very conservative in their thinking of obviously using the digital tools, to also say that you don't necessarily get the returns. For example, if we are talking about having virtual tours and all of that, people believe that it's yes, it complements, but how do you convince them that It is a way to go.
Kojo, this pandemic has just made everything clear. There are a lot of uncertainty, and there are some sad realities that we have to accept, especially for our sector. We all admit that tourism and hospitality is one of the sectors has been really hit hard by the pandemic, and one of the effects of, and some of the effects of pandemic are very clear, and everyone can you know, it affected the big and small players in the sector. But one of the ways that we use to convince them is looking at the effects and looking at the situation that is available and the projections. Because I remember, I'm not sure if I read it in your magazine or in the report here in Rwanda. I remember they were saying that things will get back to normal in 2024. So from now until 2024, all businesses or every person who's willing to stay in the sector is forced to be resilient and to come up with innovative and creative solutions to adapt to the new normal, so that at least in 2024 we'll be able to have what we lost, even more than what we lost by then. So there is the only conviction is showing them the projected measures that everyone is using, and adapt to the new solutions that are available to uptake their businesses to a new level, or if they're willing to stay in the sector, because that is the only way possible, and there's no other option.
Okay, now as a young company yourself, and as a rounded person, you know, starting as a tour guide and, you know, having been in the tour operation business, how then do you advise, for example, any tour guide or people, you know, within a value chain to take advantage of this, in spite of the challenges we have now? That, I mean, you are a tour guide, how do you scale up your business, and how do you make it, you know, something that can add value now, you know, the medium term and the long term?
Okay, so number one is to make most of available resources online, available free tools that are all online, starting with Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and WhatsApp. There are a lot of free tools and a lot of free materials that you can use to uptake your business to another level, and this is actually the right time to help people understand your brand, to help people understand what you do, because eventually, even though things are not good now, but they'll definitely be it will definitely be better. So people are spending more time on their screens. At least you have to make sure that you are available whenever they open up their Instagram, they open up their Twitter, they open up their LinkedIn or Facebook. At least you're there. At least your brand is not, you know, is not forgotten. So whenever things will be starting, whenever things will be getting better, you still stay on the front page. So that is the number one advice that I can give to people in hospitality, especially young companies. This is actually the right time to be aggressive in marketing online and help people understand what we really do. And it is also nice and a great time to re-strategize and replan and rethink and repackage our packages and reconnect with our customers and manage our relationships with customers, so that we don't struggle with looking for new clients, but staying with the new clients, but with innovative and creative packages, and keeping in mind that their average spend has been affected by the pandemic, so we need to reprice our packages and give them solutions to their needs. They might have been willing to travel, but their average spend is down now, or if they could travel two times, three times a year, now they'd be traveling once or not even traveling in a year. So we need to adapt to that change and plan according to their needs. So those are the two advice I can give to young entrepreneurs in hospitality and tourism.
Okay, now talking about, you know, repricing and adapting to the situation, there's also a school of thought, you know, which believes that some of the measures that are being rolled out now are just interventionists or if you like ad hoc ones. Can it survive, you know, in terms of not just the transition of COVID or post-COVID, respect to domestic tourism drive and then things that we are doing now to get people traveling, you know, regionally or locally? How can we make it sustainable in going forward, especially what the pandemic has taught us?
So the pandemic has taught us that I personally learned from the pandemic that there is a lot of potential and there is a lot of power in the regional market that Rwandans, East Africans and African citizens. And post-pandemic, we never thought of that market as priority. And when the pandemic came through, we realized that putting an emphasis on the regional market is the only sustainability plan that we have, because our regional market is not seasonal. Our regional market is available every time, as long as you're customizing your package according to the language that they understand and according to their needs and their average spend. Of course, their consumption behavior is quite different from the international market, but that requires us to be very innovative and very very creative to customize things that they truly want that matches their needs. I'll give you an example, like from the classic packages that Rwanda offers: Gorilla Trek, Akagera Drive, Akagera game experience. So those are the packages that are quite high end, that are quite costly, that most African citizens do not manage, or the regional market do not manage to consume. But there are a lot of tourism products that Rwanda has and that can satisfy the African market, even the local market, but we never thought about. So the pandemic taught us to explore those unknown spots that our fellow Africans can like and that can buy, and and package it in a range that they can afford, so that they can be, you know, they can be encouraged to travel. And if that works for these few years, then our tourism sector will be sustainable for a lifetime. The pandemic really showed me that the African market, domestic market, is the only possible sustainability plan that the tourism sector has. It's the backbone.
Okay. As we wrap up our conversation, I'd like you to tell me again your take on this point where, you know, the national tourism boards, you know, in Africa, often than not, sometimes do not have that a partnership with up and coming either tour operators or startups, you know, tourism startups, that they can support, you know, not just in capacity building, but to help them in building their business. I mean, they won't come and put the money in and, you know, all of, but in terms of market access, what is the experience in Rwanda and what do you think we can do to even, you know, make it better?
Well, you are right that most of African tourist boards do not or give minimum support to young entrepreneurs in building their business and so forth. But their experience in Rwanda is a bit advanced. And I must say that I acknowledge some support from the tourism board, from the Chamber of Tourism as a young entrepreneur. I enrolled different programs that gave me access to skills that I need to manage my business and access to fundings that was initiated by the Chamber of Tourism and some of by MasterCard and so forth. So I must say that there is still a huge gap. There is still a huge gap in supporting young entrepreneurs in tourism and hospitality sector, but the Chamber of Tourism or the Tourism Board, African Tourism Board. But if there could be more programs like that that give the capacity building and also access to finance, then that would be a great driving driving spirit to the young generation. Yeah, but in Rwanda it's quite better.
Okay.
Because they enrolled three programs.
Okay, excellent. As we wind up the conversation, what do you do? Again, your experience of being a tour guide, you know, as a woman, how was it, you know, respect to your community and people who looked up to you? What was the sense that you were getting around, you know, when you started this endeavor? Because often than not, it has been a man's world, you know, respect to tour guide and most of the work in the sector.
Yeah, this experience has been the most challenging doing it as a woman because it's a male-dominated sector. It's very rare to find the number of women doing the same thing because, especially here in Rwanda, it's still a male-dominated sector. But it's been challenging, but I enjoyed every bit of it because again there are not many, but there are a number of women that has made it through that we still look up to, and they still hold our hands each day to make a step, and that is what is keep pushing us till today.
Divine Wasi, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kodra. I'm really humbled.